years ago, Pinto, that has just stuck with me. And Jennifer just made me think of it when you were talking about, and thank you. Aren't you appreciative that we are, you know, it's funny, Sarah, you said, I'm transparent. This is a transparent church. And I'm so glad that we don't have to put on airs, Sunday morning Bible belt airs, that we can be real. And but Jennifer, you're talking about going and ministering. And I'll be honest with you, this morning I was in my office, and I always go over my message two or three times, and I just didn't feel like doing it. And part of it was because I had an argument with Millie last night, and she's not here, not because of that, because Levi's sick, and he was up at 2 in the morning till 5, and we were going back and forth to his room. So, you know, just being on fumes. But Jim said something years ago that stuck with me concerning this, and he said, sometimes you have to play injured. And it's amazing when you do that, how God shows up in his faithfulness. You know, if we'll just do some simple baby steps of obedience, even as Teresa did this morning, just refusing to let back pain keep her from the body of Christ, and just how we find healing and just simple acts of obedience. And so I give thanks and praise for you and your transparency and testimony. Let's we'll be in Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to read a little scripture here concerning our friend Joseph, and we're going to be spending more time learning from his life these 13 chapters, and I'll bounce around in them, but just his, what I call his providential perspective, his ability to process his life in a robust faith. And this is one of those providential perspective statements. You know, his father has died, and the brothers are concerned that the only reason Joseph has been nice to him is because of their dad, and they're worried that he might turn on them. And this is what Joseph says when they send word asking for his mercy in verse 19. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people shall be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That is amazing that he would have that perspective. I want to have that perspective. I want to be grounded in God's sovereignty and his goodness and be able to process my life in like manner. And I know you want to do the same. And so we're talking about three metaphors that as an example of how we should process life. The first one we talked about last week was in a mirror. And the metaphor of the temptation in our flesh, and will always be, is when circumstances are surrounding us, as Mama Gross was talking about, is to look out the window. And we look out the window and we say, if this circumstance would change, if this person would just do this or get out of the way or whatever, then my life is going to be better. We're tempted to constantly look out the window rather than look in the mirror. Because it's in the mirror that we're faced with the reality of our sin. It's one of the reasons we try to get away from it. But if we'll do that, it's not just truth in the mirror. It's God's grace to be set free from our sin. So that when we look into the mirror and we're just constantly in that place, this is what's going to bring about revival. If moment by moment you and I can say, you know what, I'm not in peace here. I'm not in joy here. Where am I doubting, Lord? Where's the sin in my life? What lie have I listened to? What sinful thinking is going on in my mind? And just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister and just repenting like this. I want us to lead the world in repentance, you know? And the only way we'll do that is we'll just spend our time in the mirror. And one of the other applications we made, and it's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to do with sin, is that when we are responsible for something, okay, a family, a job, an event, whatever it is, do you and I have the ability to step back and say, you know what, how could I have done better or done something different? That's just growth and maturity. And one of the things we said about Joseph is he became this trustworthy person of excellence that others look to, that others could rely upon. And so if we're going to become trustworthy people of excellence, and I believe that we should be, as believers, we should really lead the way. It has to be looking in the mirror and saying, you know, how could I have done that better and had different results? And just having the maturity to do that is important. Well, our second metaphor that we're going to explore, and we'll spend at least 2 weeks on this one metaphor, is a microscope. A microscope gives us attention to the details, right? The little stuff. And this is about finding contentment in the details. Finding contentment in the details. And this happens when you and I grow in the understanding that He's present in the details. He is preparing us in the details. He's also preaching in the details. And today we're going to talk about He's present in the details and preparing in the details. And then 2 weeks from now, Father Don is preaching next week. On Easter Sunday, I'm going to talk about Him preaching in the details. I sat here 1 o'clock last week after the church service and met with a group of 25 to 30 young people from Clemson in a ministry called Navigators. And I'm encouraged. God is raising up, as I said a moment ago when I talked about where the hope is in our children, He's raising up young people that are discontent with American Christianity. They're discontent with it. They're discontent with all the accumulation of wealth and pursuing professions about themselves and fleeing the city for the suburbs and all this stuff. And so they were here to kind of immerse themselves into Fairfield. And one of the questions that they asked me was, well, how do you keep from being burnt out? How do you keep from you know, not staying the course in ministry? Because that happens you know, a lot around us. And I don't remember how I said it, and I'm going to say it a different way this morning perhaps. But basically, it's about cultivating intimacy and trust with Jesus. And growing in the knowledge and the understanding that He's present in the details, past, present, and future. That He is very present. And listen, He is very ambitious about revealing Himself in the details. He's not hiding beneath rocks, saying in a riddle that you can't find me. He wants to be found. He wants to come through and show Himself strong, as Sarah was saying, constantly faithful to you. He's constantly screaming at us in His gentle voice. I am here. I am present with you, past, present, and future. I've always been with you. Let's look at Psalm 139 together. This is God present in the details, past, present, and future. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He's with us right now. He knows what we're about to say. Is He going to be with us in the future? Verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, done that a few times, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You can't flee anywhere from God's presence. He's there in the future waiting. Has He been in your past? Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. That's amazing. Past, present, and future. God is with us. And for many of us, it's like in the words of William Wordsworth, God being with us when we knew it not, when we were ignoring Him, when we were fleeing from His presence. This truth is a call to worship. That God is with us past, present, and future. His mercy always been there. Always been there. Always will be there. He wants to continue to assure us of this truth in the details. I think Joseph would say to us, he would say, He was with me. He was with me in that pit. He was with me in Potiphar's house. He was with me in that prison. He was with me in that palace. He was always the same. Always faithful. Always present. Again, He is ambitious about revealing Himself to us in the world around us, in His Word, and in one another. Just the other day, I was out on a jog, and I encountered his artistry. It was this beautiful blue and orange and yellow butterfly. I love butterflies because they just tend to frolic around you, you know? And it's, I looked it up later. I didn't know what it was. It's called a great purple hair streak. This gorgeous butterfly just frolicking around my head as I'm jogging. And I'm thinking, you know, he is drawing me into the presence of his creator and mine. God the Father, just in the world, revealing himself in the beauty, as Andy was sharing, in this out-of-season spring. Constantly, I am present. I am present. He was present around Planned Parenthood in his beauty, in his mercy. He also reveals himself to us in his word. And I can't say this enough, and I hate the D word as much as you do. That is discipline. And we cannot get around the simple block and tackle fundamental of being people of the book, of getting in his word and getting in his presence and getting in prayer and cultivating that intimacy and that relationship. And you and I know it. I was talking to my father-in-law over spring break, and I was just sharing with him what we've shared many times from this pulpit, and that is God's anointing is unconditional. But the effectiveness of that anointing is not. It's conditional. And if we'll be people of the book and people of prayer and cultivate that simple relational discipline, it will transform our lives and those around us. Period. The joy and the peace will become infectious. I want what you have will be going on in the hearts and minds, even if someone is too prideful to verbalize it. People of the book. My son, my youngest son, Levi, was illustrating this to me, and I was thinking about it in what I call his jelly legs. And this is the jelly leg of a baby. When he gets up in the morning, he wants a certain amount of comfort and security from his parents, right? And so he wants to be held. And if you try to cut that time short and put him down, guess what? The legs become jelly. You've seen this with babies, right? They just won't let you put them down. And this is a great picture for us of allowing God the Father to give us that comfort and security that we all need to firm up our legs to stand as we go into each and every day, encountering various trials and tribulations and challenges. It's a good picture for us. The psalmist said, "How precious are your thoughts, O God," verse 17 and 18 in Psalm 139. "How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you." His thoughts, good thoughts towards us, outnumber the sand. And he wants to share those thoughts with us. It's not a mystery. It's not a riddle. He's your heavenly Father. He's good. He wants to speak to you. We will also encounter him in one another. Robert and I were sitting on my porch encouraging one another a few nights ago over a cigar and a Chardonnay. I think it was actually a Pinot Grigio, but I like alliteration of cigar and Chardonnay. We were encouraging one another with how the truth that we encounter Christ and we receive grace from one another. And we were using the example of Damon. And Robert was just sharing how Damon works alongside him in the school and in the church, and how he was just thankful that there were areas where he felt insufficient, and yet Damon has the skill set to come alongside him and meet that insufficiency. And that's a beautiful, and we were both being very envious about Damon's skill set, his maintenance skill set that we don't possess, you know. But that is a great picture for us of the body of Christ. We need each other. We are not called to go it alone. And it's not just about you, Jesus, and your Bible either. That's a lie. It's about the body of Christ. So many times, I'm convinced, we go in prayer to Jesus about things, which is wonderful, and he's going, "Have you thought about that person in your body that has that gift? Give them a call." We need one another. Paul the Apostle, if you've been doing your readings from the epistle, said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And where I am lacking, you are not lacking. That's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ and experiencing His presence through one another. This is, again, a truth that should cause us to worship, that He's revealing Himself in the world and in the Word and in one another. He's also preparing us in the details. Joseph, I think, again, if he was here, he would say, I would not take away that 13 years of suffering for anything. He was a leader for 80 years in Egypt. But the time, the intense, we'll be prepared all our life, but the intense time of preparation for him was those 13 years. And I really think 13, as I thought about that number, what that means, I think it means 1 hour past when we thought God should have shown up. Right? He's supposed to show up in the 12th hour, right? His time is perfect time. But you and I, we know. We get in that 13th hour. Whoa, you're supposed to be here by now. And we know Joseph dealt with that. You remember when he interpreted the dream and said, remember me when you go back to the palace 2 years. They didn't remember him. Spent a lot of time in that 13th hour. Been there? Been there. I saw a friend of mine I've just witnessed, and I don't know how many years. I wanted to ask him before I spoke, but didn't. But I saw him suffer in what I would call a pretty hideous job for years. It was a corporate job where there was a ton of manipulation and envy and fear. And he just recently got a new job, and he was sharing something with me that I thought, you know what, that's a Joseph moment. What's funny to me is we always kind of laughingly called him Joseph. But here was a Joseph moment. He got this job at this new company, and one of the things they said to him was, one of your strong references was how long you endured a job in that other company. Because this other company was notorious for turnover, was notorious for abusing its people from within. And they were standing back going, this is a strong point of reference for you, that you were able to stay there that long. That's a Joseph moment. Willingness to focus on the task at hand qualified him for the next phase in life. Whatever that task at hand happens to be, he's always preparing us in the details, and especially the ones like Joseph that we feel are imprisoning us. He's preparing us in the details. Sometimes we just have to learn how to play out of position where we feel inadequate. I felt very inadequate. This is when I couldn't remember how old I was, 11 or 12 years old. I was on a horrible soccer team. I mean, we were bad. We didn't win a game all year. And so the coach put me in the position where there was the most action. Guess where that would be? Goalie, right? Now, usually goalies are the tall people because they could cover more surface area. I'm not the tall guy, so I was just shelled back there. And again, we didn't win a game, but I did learn a very valuable lesson is sometimes we're called to play out of position. And that's where God comes through. We don't feel qualified. We don't feel appreciated. We don't feel adequate. We feel under-resourced. Whatever that is, and that's the very place where God is preparing us. Where we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and He's getting out of us, getting into us, doing the good thing that He always does, preparing us. And most often, that's when we find ourselves out of position. There's a mega church here in Birmingham. I thought this was a pretty cool, scary idea. Whenever they're different than us, they don't ordain deacons, they elect them. But whenever they elect a deacon, they advertise that person's name in the paper to see if how others would speak of them. Have they been faithful elsewhere? Wow. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Kind of scary. We have interns every year from Ernst & Young, the big accounting firm. And one of them happens to be, to the glory of God, this is not an advertisement for restoration, it's just to praise the Lord, a young man who's an intern there that's just done excellent in school. And he'll likely see the beautiful thing about these internships is he'll be the first one in his family to graduate from college. 6 years in a row, every graduate from Restoration Academy has gone to college. Praise God. He's one of the, and he just the other week he called and said, he wants to establish a scholarship fund at the school. Isn't that neat? And then he turns around a few weeks later and buys a Jaguar. Ben Shockey, you know how witty he is. He said that was his first bad accounting decision. Great kid, wonderful kid. But we have interns every year from Ernst & Young that come to the school. And they come to volunteer. And they'll tutor kids, they'll work around the facility. Well, one of these interns, not the RA graduate, was overheard in the restroom complaining. She was cleaning a toilet. And she was complaining that to her, the person next to her, well, shit, you know, wouldn't I be better utilized tutoring a child than cleaning this toilet? Word got back to her supervisor, and she lost her internship and lost her job, because it's almost a guarantee that your internship turns into a job. That's good exhortation to us to find Jesus in the details, in the task at hand, no matter what that is. Doesn't matter if it's in the prison or in the palace. Doesn't matter if it's in the toilet or in tutoring. Finding Jesus in the details and having Him prepare us, cooperate with Him as He continues to prepare us. He is present in the details, desiring to reveal Himself to us. And these truths are a call to worship and serve Him and to strengthen our jelly legs, to stand firm and follow Him in whatever He takes us into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.